Well, this morning, station manager Sam Fuqua will moderate a discussion on how families can eat healthy. Let's join him now.
Thanks, Len, and good morning, everybody. KGNU continuing our exploration of the connection between the classroom and the kitchen table, connecting healthy eating for kids at school with healthy eating at home. This is part of our Eat Your Radio series, and we're going to talk in some detail this morning about the most effective ways to enable healthier eating for kids and for their parents. Joining us for the conversation are Ken Holslander, the principal at Ashley Elementary School in Northeast Denver. Good morning, Ken. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
And Katya Chavez is here, Evaluation and Community Outreach Coordinator with the Integrated Nutrition Education Project, or INEP, one of KGNU's partners in our Eat Your Radio project. Good morning, Katya.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. Let's start with, everybody knows generally that healthier eating is important, but why this focus right now, Katya?
Well, it's important to focus on healthy eating because, like many people know, right now the problem of childhood obesity is growing in the United States, and we want our kids to grow healthier. We also know that minorities and low-income families are more affected, and the purpose of the program is to target low-income elementary schools in Colorado. And that's why we are trying to focus in kids and parents.
Ken Holslander, describe the population you educate at Ashley and the neighborhood.
We're about an 85% free and reduced lunch population, mixed racial population.
Katya, what do you do when you go into a school like Ashley? What's the program? Give us the basic overview.
The basic overview is we deliver a curriculum to the teachers so they can teach nutrition classes to the kids once a week from October to May during the school year, and the kids have 1 hour of nutrition. We also teach nutrition classes to the parents, and all these classes are free for the parents and are once a week for 2 hours for 4 weeks.
So what happens in those classes?
We teach, for the parents, we teach basic nutrition information. We help them, we teach them about My Pyramid that recently have changed. We teach them about what the importance of if eating fruit and vegetables, whole wheat grains, low-fat milk, food safety, how budgeting, how to find the best products for the best price in the store. So all those basic but important information that the parents need to know.
Ken Holslander, from the perspective of the administrator of the school, why is this important? I mean, this isn't reading, writing, or arithmetic.
Well, it's important because, first of all, kids who have eaten good food do better in school. They just can concentrate better. They're not on sugar highs. It's just generally a better situation for kids all the way around. It also, you know, we all know that what we eat affects our mood, so it can help kids that are struggling with just emotional stuff. It helps on all levels.
Have you seen a difference with your students and their families since the INEP program has been in Ashley?
Actually, I've seen a huge difference. When we first started this program, I thought, okay, it'll be nice, but I really didn't, you know, I didn't expect anything major from it. But it was after it had been going, you know, first of all, you look in the classrooms, and anytime you're preparing food together, we all know if we've ever done that, that it's a great opportunity to share, and it's fun, and it's something that really helps build community in the classroom. So from that standpoint, it's good. But what I did notice is, you know, in our school, you could see kids eating hot Cheetos. That was the big thing. Hot Cheetos everywhere. Everybody had a bag of hot Cheetos in their hand. And I'm always at the door with the assistant principal at the end of the day saying goodbye to the kids. And they always had their bag of hot Cheetos on their way out the door. Now, when I see kids going out, they've got fruit in their hands. They've got an apple. They've got a banana. You know, so it is changed the whole hot Cheetos situation in my school. Like, the change has been huge to the point where you can see it with without hardly looking. It's huge. The hot Cheetos have disappeared.
And Katya Chavez, what are the results you spoke of earlier? How do we know this program is working? I mean, Ken has anecdotal evidence kids are carrying apples rather than hot Cheetos, but what do the studies show about the efficacy of this?
Well, we do evaluations at the end of each year, and we have seen that kids overall are eating basically a quarter of a cup more of fruit and vegetables comparing with control schools. Control schools are schools that are not receiving INEP in the classroom. So that is actually a huge increase of consumption of fruit and vegetables. We also seen that, if I can read these facts, 91% of children are more aware of nutrition in general. 93% are more knowledgeable about nutrition. 86% of children are more willing to try new food and new fruits and vegetables. I think that is actually a big impact in the kids.
An 80 or 90% increase in those indicators.
Yes.
And is that compared to schools that do not have a nutrition education program?
Exactly. This is compared with schools that don't have INEP in their classrooms. And something to consider, too, these lessons are actually linked to science and literacy standards in the curriculum with the schools. So we actually reinforce these standards in the classroom. And we also, the kids are actually helping the teacher prepare these snacks and these lessons. So they learn how to cook, they learn how to go home and also cook with their parents too in the house.
Give us a little more detail on that. What does a typical lesson look like?
Well, we have many lessons, but for example, one lesson is parts of the plants, and they learn the parts of the plants, and they learn like they can eat some vegetables are roots, and they can eat some roots. They can learn how to eat some spinach that are leafy greens, and we teach them about and then that is combined with all these literacy standards. We have books, and these books are actually tied to this curriculum. So they first read a book about a fruit or vegetable, and then they talk about these fruit and vegetables, and then this tied to this lesson. And we deliver food once a week through the DPS, actually, warehouse. We have a partnership with DPS and Aurora and the other districts around the state. And we deliver this food so that teachers have this food available for the kids, and the kids are also helping cut the fruit and the vegetable in the classroom.
So that food is not part of the school lunch program.
It's not.
Classroom it's project for this
yes,
unit.
Yes, yeah. This is all part of the program. We deliver this food once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the books, too, because each lesson is tied to a book.
Ken Holzabel, what are some of the barriers that you've seen to the kids eating healthier or their parents eating healthier in the Ashley community?
I think for us it's really just a lack of information. One thing that happened to me the second year I was at Ashley, I've been there, I'm just finishing my ninth year. The second year in the fall, I was in a second grade classroom, and there was a group of kids huddled around a desk, and they were doing an activity around school, something in one of the lessons, I think, in literacy. And I went over and kind of listened to the kids, and they were going, I don't know what it is. Do you know what it is? I don't know what it is. And I went over to see what it was. They didn't know what it was, and it was a stalk of celery. They had not seen celery in a stock, and they didn't know what it was. And so I think it's just lack of information. And that's one of the great things that this program does, is it teaches kids all kinds of things, and it helps them understand that food doesn't come in a box, that it has a connection to the earth, it has a connection to animals. It's a bigger thing here, and I think that's something, especially kids living in the city today, you forget where food comes from and what it takes to get that food to you. So I think there's a bunch of areas that it really helps the kids get more information about food in general. And I think the knowledge part is the blockage. It's, money is certainly part of it, but people eat regardless, and it's just about making better choices and understanding that for the same money I can do this or I can do this. So it really is information.
Well, I know that it's been well documented in some urban areas. I don't know Ashley's neighborhood specific, but in some urban areas there's just no grocery store. There may be a convenience store that sells some prepackaged items, but Katia Chavez, do you work at all to overcome that a kind of an access barrier for healthier foods? Or is there anything a classroom program can do?
Well, I can give an example. Swansea Elementary, we work with Swansea too. Swansea is located in I-70 and York. They don't have safe working super around. I asked one mom a few months ago, what is the closest store? And they go to Commerce City, actually, to a Walmart in Commerce City. So I think there is a big problem right now. Low-income neighborhoods don't have access to big grocery stores. And we are our program in particular is not doing something for accessibility of these kind of stores. But there are many programs right now in Denver and in Colorado that are working to try to educate people in these small convenience stores so they can have more fruit and vegetables available.
Bringing that food into the stores that are in the neighborhood.
Exactly. And we are educating the parents that ways for them to choose the best options in these convenience stores. We are doing that, and we are also telling them that it's not. Some parents said it's more expensive. This whole wheat bread is more expensive. How can I do? There are ways to eat healthier, and it's not that expensive. We teach them you can also buy the brand store. You can get coupons. You also look for coupons and offers in the store. So there is ways to eat healthier and not spend that much money. We are also encouraging the parents to participate in the community and participate in farmers market if there is one around their neighborhood. And there is right now a big movement for urban gardens right now. Swansea is starting now a garden. And I know many schools are doing right now gardens in their backyard of the school.
Ken, is Ashley have this issue of a lack of options in the neighborhood?
No, we're across the street from Stapleton, so there's a huge King Supers down the street, and that isn't the problem we have. The problem really is lack of information. What do I need to eat? And a really good example is our cafeteria manager, Chad, who is extraordinary, wrote a grant last year to get a salad bar in our school. That would not have functioned 3 years ago. But because of this program, it is a huge success. All of the kids are in the salad bar eating stuff. They wouldn't have done that before because there's all kinds of things in that salad bar that they had never tried and they weren't going to try. But now because of the weekly things that we do in the classroom and just the information, they're trying things and finding out they like things. And it's made a huge impact from that area. And again, it's the information, just understanding, because we're in an area where we have access to everything, but it's about making good choices.
If you just joined us, that's Ken Holzlabel, Holzlander, who's the principal at Ashley Elementary School in Northeast Denver, one of the schools that works with the Integrated Nutrition Education Project, or INEP. INEP's Evaluation and Community Outreach Coordinator, Katya Chavez, is also with us in the studio. It's listener-supported KGNU, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM. And we'll open up the phones now at 303-442-4242. If you have a question or a comment about how we get kids more into healthy eating in the schools and at home, or maybe you're a parent who's struggling with this issue yourself, maybe you have some tips or questions, we'd be pleased to have you join the conversation. Again, our number is 303-442-4242, 303-442-4242. Katya Chavez, I wanted to come back to that statement you made a few minutes ago that it is possible to eat healthier on a very limited budget, and I would like to know how to do that better. What do you teach the parents on that issue? Can you be more specific?
Yes, like I mentioned before, with the bread, they can buy the brand from the store. Like if it's Safe Waking Super, Walmart, they always have a brand from the store that is cheaper. We are also teaching them that if there is a fruit that is more expensive because of the season, they can buy frozen or canned, but always telling them to pay attention to the nutrition facts, because we know that fruit or canned vegetables can have a little bit of more of salt or sugar. So there is the frozen vegetable, frozen fruit they can buy. That is still a healthy option. They can buy also fruit and vegetables in a can. They can look for coupons. And there is always specials in the stores. Even when I go by for the nutrition classes for the parents, I can find 100% fruit juice in specials or $2 for $3, $2 for $4. So those small tips are important for the parents, and they actually, I tell them, go to the store this week, next week come back and tell me a change or something you bought this week that was different. And they always come back saying, yes, I bought 100% whole wheat bread. It's better. It was a little bit more expensive, but it's worth it. It's for my family. It's an investment that I'm doing for my family.
What if you have a parent who has really made unhealthy eating choices? How do you get when the kid comes home from school, really invested in healthier eating, but mom or dad is not so much? How do you get the parent to come along with the kid?
Yes, this is actually the why we started this parent program, because the kids were going home with this new knowledge about healthy eating and fruit and vegetables, and the parents were like, okay, what do you want me to do, right? So then we started educating these parents, and we're telling, I mean, this is something for the good of your family, for your kid. You want your family and your kids to grow healthier. You don't want them to be obese. You don't want them to be overweight. We tell them that if kids are overweight or obese, they can have this cardiovascular disease in the future. So we are telling them this is a way to prevent diseases in the future and to prevent even cavities. Most of these families don't have insurance, so we don't want them to spend too much money going to the doctor. We don't want them to spend money to go to the dentist. We also want them to be healthy kids and to go to the school all the time, and we also don't want them to not go to the school because they are sick. So we told them about all these ways that they can do to prevent them to be sick.
Let's go to the phones. We have a couple callers. Let's hear from Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay. You're on the air. You know what, Lindsay? I'm going to have to. I think we have to say goodbye to Lindsay. The phone connection is not audible. Lindsay, if you want to try back, we're at 303-442-4242. Let's hear from Mark. Hi, Mark. You're on the air. Hello, Mark.
Thank you very much. I was wondering, is there a website where a person could pull up some recipes to feed his children who don't necessarily like vegetables?
Recipes to get kids who don't like vegetables. Where can he go?
Yes, INEP has a website. It is inep.ucdenver.edu. We have recipes for parents where we incorporate more vegetables to the recipe. So, and if you have more questions, I can actually refer you to other websites too that we have. This is my phone number, 303-724-4461. If you call me, I can refer you to other websites too.
And what was the website? The INEP.
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 UCDenver.edu.
UCDenver.
Thank you very
much. Great. And give me one example of a common recipe you would share with a parent who wants their kid to eat more vegetables but needs to get them to enjoy them, mm-hmm. or sneak them in to food they enjoy.
Yes, there is a quesadilla, actually, that has vegetables on it. It's not just cheese or meat. And, you know, we know that kids love cheese. We know that kids love quesadillas. So this recipe has actually cream cheese, and it has small pieces of green pepper, red peppers, different colors. It has spinach. But cut it in small pieces, and it's mixed with this cream cheese. And it also has spices. It has a little bit of garlic and the spices of your choice. And you just spread this to the tortilla, and that's actually a good way for the kids to eat more vegetables. It's a simpler way, but it works. We try it with the kids, and they actually like it.
Mm-hmm. Try the quesadilla, Mark. We're at 303. 442-4242. That's 303-442-4242. Ken Holslander, does anything happen at the school with the whole family on this project? Schools are often the community center of the neighborhood. I have heard that is true for Ashley. Do you bring the whole family together, meals or educational opportunities?
We don't really connect it to education, but we have, because we have a large Hispanic population, that understand food. So we end up having potluck dinners, that sort of thing. We had an international day here a couple of months ago where we had food from about 8 or 9 different countries come in. And some of that was prepared by the parents, and some of it was prepared by ethnic restaurants around the school. And so we do those kind of things, but we don't really bring people together at this point around a nutrition lesson. But it's something we certainly would be open to doing.
And where would you say DPS is on this? Is the school lunch program supportive? Are they helping? You talked about the grant that got the salad bar.
You know, our school lunch program is supportive, but DPS is so big that I would really be a fool to make a blanket statement about DPS. So Ashley Elementary is definitely open to it. Chad, our cafeteria manager, is open to it. But DPS, I'm sure that they are certainly open to the idea, but what it looks like in other schools, I really couldn't tell you.
That's the view from Ashley. What about the other schools you work in, Katya Chavez?
We do have a great partnership with DPS. They are really doing a great job right now. They're actually doing this salad bar in all of the DPS schools starting this year. So starting actually 2010. And in some schools, they're starting to do the scratch cooking. They're starting to prepare everything from scratch, mm-hmm. from bread, everything from scratch. So DPS is really one of the, I think, schools that are really invested in the lunchroom.
By scratch cooking, you mean the DPS food services are making more things from scratch?
Yes. Oh. Some schools are trying, they started doing it last year, and they're trying to implement this in more DPS schools in the future.
And that is happening at Ashley as well.
Let's take another call. This is Chuck. Hi, Chuck. You're on KGNU.
Hello. I was wondering about addressing the balance of like amino acids and getting a good education and how to, especially if they're employing plants. There's like 20 amino acids in the building blocks for proteins, and what kind of educational materials are you putting forward in that?
Katya Chavez, is there any work in that area? I mean, we're talking about fifth graders at Ashley.
Exactly. We're educating elementary school kids from K to fifth grade. It's basic nutrition information about fruit and vegetable consumption. So we don't specifically talk about amino acids, but we talk about new fruit and vegetables that they can eat and they can try in the school.
Chuck, is there a particular...
Well, it was more the balance of which foods you would consume and how much of them to get these important acids so you have the proper amount of protein to grow. It's very important for a growing child or somebody who's pregnant that they're receiving the proper amounts of a balanced diet.
For the parents, we do teach them about the proper balance in their diet. We actually follow the My Pyramid guidelines. And like I mentioned before, that changed actually from last week. Now it's called...
it's a plate, not a pyramid.
Yeah. Exactly. So we follow those guidance from...
The other day they were comparing the different cultural graphics that they employ, I believe, in... In Italy, there'll be wine is included and olive oils, et cetera, in their graphics for the pyramids. That's somewhat culturally based. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks.
And Chuck's point there, I think, is just to promote a balanced diet with protein as well as these amino acids.
Exactly. And we do teach the parents about a balanced diet with My Pyramid because this is a federal grant. INEP is funded through a federal grant, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program Education.
Oh, so that's a Department of Agriculture funding?
Yes.
We're at 303-442-4242. If you'd like to join our conversation, 303-442-4242. Katya Chavez is here from INEP, the Integrated Nutrition Education Project, and Ken Holslander, who is the principal at Ashley Elementary in Northeast Denver. Ashley is one of the schools that works with INEP, and also KGNU's Eat Your Radio project is part of that effort as well. And let me just talk about that. We're tooting our own horn here for a second, but how does the radio piece help enhance this nutrition education, or does it? What have you seen, Katya?
Right now, the KGNU project is working with fifth graders, and this is part of another grant from the Colorado Health Foundation. And the parents are being the parents and the kids are being pretty excited about this program. They've been reporting the nutrition classes. There have been advocates in the classrooms about the importance of these nutrition classes. So they've been taking pictures. I was part, actually, of a session where they were interviewed the parents, and they interviewed me about the purpose of the classes. So I think it's great because the kids can also learn. They can tie the nutrition to being advocates and how to report this through the radio.
The kids who are being the radio reporters can become advocates for healthy eating?
They do, and it gives them a little bit of star status that they're running around with the microphone and the camera, and so that's fun for them. And it also gives them an experience that they wouldn't normally get, and, you know, something they could translate into a place like here. So,
well, let's take another call. This is John. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. What a great program. Thanks to your guests for their terrific work. I'd just like to chip in a couple of notions that I've heard in the past and see if they have any ideas about them. One is that I've heard of people teaching kids about amigos, groups of foods that go together, that protein balance, for instance, corn and beans is the famous combination, but also peanut butter and milk. And the second thing that I've heard about, which I'd love to have some thoughts on, is this contest where, as opposed to a normal cook-off where neighborhood people enter their best recipes, there's a waiting for how much it cost. So it's a win on the sheer taste, and then it's a win on the economy. You know, people have no idea how economical dry beans are. Kind of hard to cook, takes some tricks, takes some time, but the dual waiting makes it a more interesting contest, and it seemed to be particularly well-suited for high school students. I'll take a listen now. Thanks so much to KGMU and your guests. Bye.
Thanks, John. Katia Chavez, let me take John's second point first. Any kind of cooking contest through INEP that focus not only on taste but also on economy?
Yes, we actually, through this KGNU radio, we had a contest, a salad contest, actually in Ashley and in Centennial Elementary, if I'm correct. We told the kids to go to their home and ask their parents an expensive, healthy salad recipe. So there were, and it has to have some superfood components. Superfood are the superfood of the month that we were also marketing in the schools.
Like, what is a superfood?
Like, broccoli was the superfood of April, or cabbage was in March. So the salad needed to have at least two or three superfood components, and it needed to be inexpensive. So, and the winner actually was going to have that salad in the salad bar with the name of that person. So,
and probably that salad recipe is going to be on either the Eat Your Radio website,
yes,
or the INEP site.
I'm pretty sure that's going to be there soon. So we are actually telling the kids to also think about ways to have healthy recipes and with and inexpensive recipes.
And are you familiar with this idea John raised initially about food groupings?
Not about that one that he specifically was talking, amigos, but we do teach in fifth graders about my pyramid, but in a more fun way, about these different group of foods, grains and fruit, vegetables, proteins, and dairy. So we do teach them, but it's more for fifth graders.
Let's take another call. Hi, Kate. You're on KGNU.
Hi, I actually go by KK, but I said Kate just a little easier to say. I was interested that your guest mentioned the urban garden movement, and I know a little bit more about that. There is a group in the Swansea area called Grow House that gives classes, and if you don't have land of your own, it allows you to grow in their greenhouse. So I wanted to make sure your listeners knew about that and some of those classes. There's also a group called the Denver Urban Gardens, which I think got started pretty close to along Colorado Boulevard, and they find lots of land in the city where you can garden, again, if you don't have land of your own, but you could garden. And finally, there's a group called the Urban Gleaners, I think, that goes around and asks people if they have grapes growing in their yard that they're not eating, or fruit trees, if they could harvest those things and so other people can use those things. So I think there's a huge new movement here at Urban Gardens, and it's really pretty easy. We have some lettuce in our yard that we didn't even plant. We planted it last year, and we have a huge crop this year. So I just wanted to urge people to be aware of what you can get right here in the city.
And what was the first organization you talked about with the the greenhouse?
Yeah, Grow House. I think it's GROHAUS.
All right, Grow House, providing some greenhouse opportunities for folks who don't have space for themselves. Thanks, Kate. We're at 303-442-4242, 303-442-4242. Katya Chavez, does INEP get it all into the gardening aspect of this? And if so, how?
Yes, Denver Over Garden is actually one of our partners, and they actually had a curriculum, and they were, I think, fifth graders were part of this curriculum, where someone from Denver Over Gardens were there teaching them where the plants were coming from, and they were actually going, if there was a garden around, they would show them how the plants were growing, and then, and the ways the kids can be involved with it, with these gardens. Right now, I'm working closely with them at Swansea Elementary, and we just started a garden 2 weeks ago with the parents, and it's a way to involve the community, the parents from the schools, and also the kids, so they can be involved and see how where the fruit and vegetables are coming from.
Mm-hmm. All this seems like a big challenge in the context of today's world and today's economy. Ken Holslander, you may have a lot of families where both parents have to work, maybe they work long hours, not making a lot of money, and the convenience of prepackaged foods is something that just works better in their day. Maybe they don't have time to garden. Any thoughts on how we can get past just some societal issues we have that are barriers?
Well, I think, once again, education is the route to take here. And we keep talking about low-income families, but I think these are problems that are shared by upper class as well. You know, the middle class, everybody's working, time is short, you know, we're running in 90 different directions, and it's easier just to grab a box. And so I think it's really important that people learn about what the stuff that you put in your face actually does to your body and the damage you end up doing if you're not careful. I think that's a good start for everybody. I think it's also important that we understand that what we put in our face has an impact on the third world, that it isn't just about, oh, I bought this and it has no impact anywhere, that it's all connected. And the more we buy things that have been processed, the more it hurts the world and the planet we live on. And so I think it's important that everybody learn those things, and also to learn that there are a bunch of recipes and things that you can do that don't take much time, that end up giving you better food. And it's also about making Sunday a cooking day at your house so that we have things prepared that we can just pull out of the freezer or pull out of the refrigerator. It's a community thing you can do with your kids, and it's fun. And, you know, those of us who grew up on farms, that's kind of the way we functioned. We all cooked together. We all cleaned together. We all did the farm work together. And I think kids who live in town sometimes miss out on some of those things and miss out on, you know, your parents taking you aside and say, here's how you cook. You know, those are important things.
You grew up on a farm?
I did.
You ever talk about that to the kids?
I do.
That's neat. That's Ken Holslander. He is the principal at Ashley Elementary School in Northeast Denver. They're an INEP school, meaning a school that works with the Integrated Nutrition Education Project. INEP's Evaluation and Community Outreach Coordinator, Katya Chavez, is also with us. And we're taking your calls at 303-442-4242 as we discuss healthy eating and how schools work with kids and parents and how families can work together to eat healthier. Again, our number is 303-442-4242. Let's hear from Eve. Hi, Eve. You're on KGNU.
Good morning. Excellent program. It sounds like this is a great thing for children and families to learn about real food. And in that direction, I wonder if they're being informed about which foods have the most and the least pesticide residues. I had a little moment of concern when I heard the recipe for the quesadilla, because the peppers are something that's notoriously high in pesticide residues. And so that, and also which foods are genetically modified. I just think that children especially are going to be even more affected than adults by pesticide residues and by genetically modified foods.
Thanks for your question, Eve. Let's hear from Katya Chavez.
In this program, we do teach the kids about pesticides, but we don't talk about eating just organic food. Because, again, the focus of the program is for the kids to eat more fruit and vegetables in general. If they are not eating that, that it's important that they eat more fruit and vegetables. We also know that organic food is more expensive, too, so that can be a barrier for these low-income families. And, again, for the quesadilla recipe, it can be any kind of vegetables. It could be as long as it's colorful, because and peppers, there is orange, there is red, yellow. The more color, the better for the kids to eat the meal.
So you're kind of taking a one step at a time approach.
Exactly.
The main thing is to get the kids eating more fruits and vegetables.
Yes, mm-hmm. that is the approach.
Well, let's hear from Anne. Hi, Anne. You're on KGNU.
Hello. I was really excited to hear about the Scratch program because I remember going to middle school and seeing the Pizza Hut delivery guy delivering like 5 feet tall stacks of pizza boxes into their back door of our cafeteria. So the Scratch menu program is really exciting. But my question was that there are lots of things in our processed foods that turn off our ability to sense when we are full. And when people have cravings, that's a symptom or a signal for some severe imbalances in their body. The other day on Eat Your Radio, I heard a young girl being interviewed about her sugar, her chocolate cravings. And so are you able to teach the kid, or I don't know, do you address in some way if they're, because for a lot of people, if they have an impaired digestive system, if they're even constipated, if they're dehydrated, if they have hormone imbalances like thyroid, they can't tell if they're full. And sometimes if they're nutritionally deficient, they may feel very hungry still after eating a meal. So do you also allow the kids to learn how to sense when they're full? But also, I'm very concerned about a child having such a charged issue over their food. I want a child to be able to eat and feel satisfied and not have to sit down and think, is this bad? Is this good? Did they teach me right? Did they teach me wrong at school? Am I a bad person because I have this severe craving that I can't control?
That's an interesting situation, and let's get both our guests to respond. Ken Holslander?
It's kind of complicated,
well,
sorry.
You know, I think one thing that's real important, because all these points that have been raised are outstanding points, that when you're really looking at nutrition and food and much closer, you need to be looking at. But we're in the beginning stages of teaching kids how to eat. And so the major goal right now is to get kids off of hot Cheetos and onto broccoli. And then once we get them hooked on the broccoli and off the Cheetos, then we can start talking about there are different kinds of broccoli that you need to go. And I'm not for sure that at this point, other than maybe mentioning it, that that's where we need to be. We really need to be teaching kids about making better choices. And Katya mentioned earlier the superfood program, that once a month they come in and they highlight a food. And I remember the month that it was broccoli. And, you know, you go into the cafeteria and they decorate and people are dressed up and there's like broccoli spears on a table instead of flowers. And broccoli was everywhere. They even made a broccoli smoothie. And I was the first one to raise my nose to that. And I love broccoli, but a broccoli smoothie, I'm sorry, just couldn't go there. And I tasted it and went, oh, my God, this is really good. And that's what we need from the kids, is just understanding that broccoli can be your friend. And then as they get kind of better instructed about how to make good choices and to leave the fast food and do this and, you know, leave the hot Cheetos and get a fruit, then we can start looking at these other things. Because if we went in and really started with that with kids, they would be so panicked about food, I'm not for sure they would eat anything. So, you know, I think what the program is doing right now is just helping kids make better choices. And I think that's our goal. And Katya, you can correct me if I'm wrong there, but the goal right now is just let's make better choices. In another grade, then maybe we can look at the chemical stuff, because, you know, all of those things are important. They're super important. But if we don't get kids out of the Hot Cheetos bag, all of that stuff is moot. So, you know, I think it's a step-by-step program, as we were saying earlier.
And I agree with Ken. We want them to make better choices and also to try new fruit and vegetables too. So that is the main objective right now.
But what if you have a fifth grader who says, you know, I'm trying this healthy eating, I like it, but I'm just not feeling full. And it could be because of an imbalance or a craving. I mean, do kids say that, you know, that the healthy food is nice, but it's not filling me up? And how do you respond? Eat more of it?
That could be an option. I haven't heard that comment from a kid, but we do encourage the parents to have healthy food available in their homes, have a bowl of fruit available in the living room, in the kitchen. We also tell them to have cut vegetables as a snack available. So when they're hungry, that is ready for the kids to eat. So we encourage them, instead of having cookies, crackers, or Cheetos, we encourage them to have these cut fruit and vegetables available for the kids. So that is a good way for them to, if they're hungry, to eat more of that.
We're talking about encouraging healthy eating in the schools and at home with Katya Chavez from INEP, the Integrated Nutrition Education Project. Ken Holzlander is with us. He is the principal at Ashley Elementary School in Northeast Denver. They participate in the INEP program. Another caller, Nancy. Hi, Nancy. You're on KGNU.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, I first wanted to say I've been following the Eat You Radio program for a long time, and I just think it's fabulous. I love the kids' reporting and all of that. And I find what you all are describing really exciting, because if you don't get kids young, it's really hard to change how people eat later, I think. But I wanted to make a comment that I think kind of picks up on one of the last caller's concerns about sort of policing what we eat. And the reason is that I had eating disorders when I was younger, and I think they were all tied into ideas of being a good person and ideas of being self-controlled and all of that. And so I think there's a danger when we get kids to talk a lot about and think a lot about what they eat, that we make it too big of an issue, and that it can turn into an eating disorder. And especially with all the emphasis for girls, for example, on slimness and stuff. And so I just wanted to raise that to follow up on the discussion that the other caller started about how it's such a fine line to walk between teaching kids what's good for them and making them feel like, you know, this is what I have to do to be good. And what I like about what I heard on the radio programs is that it seems like the emphasis has been much more on just finding other things that you like. And I think that's a real important difference between that and saying eating things that are good for you. If kids get exposed to things that are good for them, they will want to eat them. And then you don't have to get that piece in there about what you should do, even what you should do that's good for you, rather than just look at all these great foods that we can eat and that you know, we enjoy. There's one, just really quickly to add, there was a study years ago where they let kids eat whatever they wanted for a week. And the first 2 or 3 days, all they ate was you know, sweets and junk food. And after that, they started craving peas and things. You know, so if you just teach someone to listen to their body, they'll eat what's good for them. And the good food will fill them up.
Thanks, Nancy. 303-442-4242, the number to call to join our conversation. Katya or Ken, do you have anything to add to that? It sounds like Nancy is agreeing with the approach you're taking in INEP.
And I think she's right on that. Right now, it's just about getting kids to make better choices, which we've seen in things like now they're eating out of the salad bar, whereas a couple of years ago, that salad bar would not have functioned. And now it is, because kids are just looking at it as, ooh, that might be good. And, you know, the idea that fifth graders, they eat a lot. that's just the nature of the beast. The body is growing and it needs energy, and so they eat a lot, but it's to get them to make better choices when they're eating those things. And the thing that I find funny is the parents who have told me, because Katch is talking about, you know, when kids come home, make sure you've got vegetables cut up and that sort of thing. And people might think, oh, well, my kids won't eat that. And I've had parents tell me, my kids do eat that. I'm surprised. But when I have that stuff out, they eat it. And again, part of it is they're a fifth grader, they will eat anything. So if you put good stuff out, they're going to eat that. But because of this program, they're going, oh, broccoli, that sounds good. And so, you know, again, it's just education.
Can I make a quick follow-up?
Yes, I agree with that. And also, the kids are exposed to new fruit and vegetables. When you ask a kid, try this broccoli or try this cabbage, they'll say, no, I don't like it. And they never tried it before. So when they try it, they like it, they're more likely to then go home and ask for it and try it and eat it.
303-442-4242, our number. Join our conversation about kids and healthy eating in the schools and at home, how to change the behavior, how to interest the kids and the parents in healthier eating. What tips do you have? Maybe there's some tricks you've used in your own home that have worked. 303-442-4242. Sounds like Chuck is back. Chuck, are you on the air, on the line, I mean?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes, I am. I was just wanted to touch base really quickly on the chemical signal that you're full. Recently, there was an article in the New York Times titled, Is Sugar Toxic? And it was a write-up on a biochemist who has a viral YouTube presentation where he talks about how your liver processes glucose, fructose, and sucrose differently. And the shift in our national diet away from or towards fructose and sucrose, which is what you have, the sugars that you have or the carbohydrates that you have in fruits, but separated from the fibers, which are so important. And the way that our liver processes that is completely different from the way that you would process glucose. And the signal that had been addressed by a number of other people for the suppression of the appetite is what's addressed in this. And by going back to more natural, unprocessed foods, you're going to go ahead and feel like you're full at the right times when you actually are. And I just wanted to alert people that this information is available online. Pretty easy to find those articles on the YouTube. And they're quite entertaining.
And all right, thanks, Chuck. We all crave sugar to one degree or another, trying to get natural sugars. I guess we crave three things, right, Katya? Sugar, salt, and fat.
Exactly. Yeah. And those three things are the ones that we should avoid.
Although we can satisfy those cravings to some degree with healthy foods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, like dry food, fruit. It has sugar, but it's actually healthier for you.
Mm-hmm. So what are the next steps here? I mean, obviously continuing this kind of nutrition education in the schools is important. If you could take it to the next level, what would you do?
Well, actually, it's really important to educate the kids, but the parents. I think we are trying to expand this nutrition program for the parents. Last year, we were in 26 schools teaching parent classes, and we're trying to increase the number. And also, we are telling the parents to spread the word, try to talk with a neighbor or to another relative about these tips and this healthy eating that you just learned in the classroom. Because in each class series, we have a mom or two, or even most of the time, all of them, they make a small change from week to week, and that small change make a big difference in their family. So I think that is important. Even if they do one change, I think we have accomplished our goal.
Mm-hmm. And Ken Holzlander, if you could expand this in your school, what would you do? What would be the next step for Ashley?
You know, I think the once a week thing works really well. What I do believe is that we do, with the kids, we continue doing what we're doing in the sense of just getting them to make better choices. But I agree with Katya, the backup of this has got to be within the families. And especially the moms in my school, there are a lot of them that are really interested in this stuff. A lot of, you know, the families in my school came from other countries and other cultures where they've had to make huge shifts in the way they cook and the way they get food. And so having someone who is giving them some guidance around that, how to make better choices within this system. I have families who came from Somalia. And they're facing King Soopers and going, okay, what do we do here, you know? So I think the education for the adult part, I think that's huge, and I think that really needs to be the next stage that gets expanded as much as possible. But, you know, don't hurt the program for the kids.
Yeah, and would that be something INEP would be interested in expanding, the parent education?
Yes, it's actually in the plans of the of the supplemental nutrition assistance programs to have more parent education for the parents.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we wrap up, can you remind people again, Katia Chavez, of what resources INEP has available and how people can access them?
Yes, we have a website where we have recipes. We have some other websites from around the states that have tips for parents. And we also have the curriculums in the website, too, for other teachers that want to look at it. And it's inep.cgdenver.edu, our website. And if you have more questions, you can also call me, 303-724-4461, or you can call the director of the program, Leslie Beckstrom, at 303-724-4459.
And if you miss those numbers, you can call us at KGNU, and we can pass on the information to you. Is INEP interested in working in other school districts?
Yes, we actually, like I mentioned before, we are around the state. Right now we are in 12 counties, 21 districts, 107 schools, and we are expanding every year. We have schools in Aurora and Jefferson County, Adams, 14, so we are always trying to increase those numbers.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's you could also internet search on INEP if all else fails. You could also internet search on Eat Your Radio, and you'll come to the website that KGNU has set up for our piece of the project, which also has resources and recipes. We invite you to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:35 when we'll continue our nutrition coverage with Robin O'Brien. She's the author of The Unhealthy Truth, How Food is Making Us Sick and What We Can Do About It. Chef Ann Cooper will also be joining us. She's working to transform school food in the Boulder Valley School District. Eat Your Radio's programming was recently recognized by the Colorado Broadcasters Association. We're proud of that. And again, you can find out more at eatyourradio.kgnu.org. Or if you're driving and you can't write these websites down, just do a search on Eat Your Radio when you get to your destination. I want to thank Katia Chavez, the Evaluation and Community Outreach Coordinator for the Integrated Nutrition Education Project, and also Ken Hulslander, who is the principal at Ashley Elementary School in Northeast Denver, been working with KGNU and INEP, and we really appreciate that, Ken. Thanks for coming in. Thank you, Katia.
Thank you.